right.
Straub Park,
Central Avenue.
We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Sometimes the dog bites back with a book deal. And while we're talking about female canines, you know what they say about payback? It's a real, well, I'm sure you know the word I'm thinking of. So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T. And the next time you get a black woman and a beagle confused, remember this. I got you.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, it's Kevin Nealon, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Yeah.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioStPete.com. My name is Will Kuntz. Welcome to the show. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line if you want to leave a message, get in contact in any certain way. This week we got Bucks Talk, man. Football is back. I'm so excited. I get excited for the Bucks every year. And I've been very, very disappointed. My hopes have been dashed very, very quickly the past 10 years or so. But this year is going to be different. And I say this every year, but I believe it this year. I think good things are going to happen for the Bucks. It's an uphill climb for them, certainly. Jameis Winston is out the first three games due to suspension. The left tackle just went down before the season. It's not good, okay? Granted, it's not great. But we're going to talk Bucks, and who else better to talk Buccaneers football with than Ian Beckles? Ian Beckles is a former player, longtime radio host at WDAE. Now he's with us at 102.5 The Bone. You can hear him 5 a.m. Monday through Friday, and then he has two weekend shows. It's crazy. I can't believe that guy sleeps at all, but he manages, I suppose. I went over there yesterday, and I assumed he was going to be on the phone or something at his place at the Dignitary headquarters up in Tampa there, and I assumed he was going to be busy working. And he was sitting down playing Madden, enjoying himself. So I guess he gets some leisure time, so that's good. So we're going to talk Bucks football this week, the upcoming season, what to expect. We get into a little bit about CTE, and he just gives his perspective on being a former player, and, you know, he's been out to practices and stuff. So this is his bread and butter. So he was nice enough to come and talk to him this week about it. So we're going to get to that very shortly. But first, I want to say thank you very much to Truvy Salon and Spa, TruvySalonAndSpa.com, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, right here in St. Petersburg. Chrissy Parker does the best hair, the best nails. Is it Mother's Day yet? No, it's not Mother's Day, so it's too early to get your mom in. You know what? You love your mom, right? Why don't you buy her a haircut? Who else better to get it from than Chrissy Parker at Truvy Salon and Spa? Make your appointment online at TruvySalonAndSpa.com and also HomemadePodcast.com. I really believe in this company because it's my company, of course. If you've ever thought about starting a podcast and don't really know what you're doing, don't know how to get started, whether it's the, you know, recording equipment or, you know, the back end computer stuff, I know how to do this. If I don't know how to do something, I can figure it out pretty easy. So if you're a business perhaps that wants to create audio content for your reach new and existing clients, then let me help you out. Check out homemadepodcasts.com. Make sure you like the Facebook page, facebook.com/HMB Radio. Still use that thing. I don't know why. Facebook's useless. But and like the Stay Woke page as well if you search Anna Hummel Radio. And you should be able to find it if you search Stay Woke, too. So like those pages. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @home_made_man. Reverend Al had a little flub. That was a little clip I played at the beginning. Boy, Aretha Franklin passed away, and cable news did their damnedest in order to try to screw that up, the honoring her and her great career. Fox News put up a photo of the departed Aretha Franklin earlier this week, and it wasn't her. It was Patti LaBelle. They got those confused. And then Reverend Al, that dotard, managed to stumble over misspelling the word respect, which I don't know. That was one of the first words I ever knew how to spell as a child. Because of that song. But I heard Reverend Al is a, you know, he's a great orator, he's a pastor and everything, but not so great at the reading thing. So that was pretty embarrassing for Reverend Al. And I hate this about media, too. Whenever they do these things, you could tell there was a slight pause after he spelled respect, and then he went, uh-oh, that's not right. But then just plowed through instead of acknowledging it and saying, oh, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Yeah, see? Because that was his whole thing. That was like the ending of his show, his exclamation point on his whole spiel, and he blew it. And then didn't even bother acknowledging. What do you think, nobody's going to notice? Everyone noticed! Why don't I understand why these people just don't say something about it, and at least just say, like, oh yeah, I'm an idiot, and then you move on, people laugh it off. It's like one of those things, right? Like when you're a kid, if you pick on yourself, you know, you kind of give yourself a hard time, you don't give people any ammunition to get at you, you know? But these people just don't, they don't, I hate that they don't acknowledge it. 813-693-2124 is the phone number, hmbradio.com. Make sure you rate, subscribe, give it a 5-star rating while you're there. Hey, maybe you're a business and you want to, you know, advertise with us. That'd be awesome, man. hmbradio.com/contact. And, you know, we can work something out. We can work a deal out. That'd be cool, man. I'd love to have you. All right, let's talk to Ian Beckles. We're going to talk about the upcoming Tampa Bay Buccaneers 2018-19 season. Am I right to be excited, Ian? Can you answer this question for me?
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
Ian, I have a question for you, and I want you to tell me why I'm incorrect.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff with Jameis Winston going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's playing with the second team in the preseason.
Yep.
People are concerned because they're like, man, he's going to get hurt playing behind those guys, that second line. Why is he going to get hurt if they're professional football players?
Well, the thing is, Jameis Winston is going in the second quarter with the second line against second linemen. It's not like he has his backups, the other teams have the starters in there.
Right.
So Jameis Winston's going to be fine. The coaches aren't going to put him in a situation where he's going to get hurt. You can get as hurt against the ones as you can against the twos.
Yeah.
So listen, if we lose the first three games of the season, our season's going to be over anyways. So believe it or not, getting Ryan Fitzpatrick ready for the season is as important as it is to get Jameis Winston ready for the season.
So I'm not wrong. I was right the whole time.
I don't think you're wrong at all. I mean, listen, the first three games is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he's a starter. So I don't think there's many scenarios where Ryan Fitzpatrick will be the starter in the fourth game other than miracles.
Winning all three games.
Yeah, and let's just be honest. He's not going to win those three games. Not those three games. Like, literally, statistically, they say those are the toughest opening three games for any team in football history. I mean, you're talking about three teams that were 11-5 last year, went deep in the playoffs, and have legitimate quarterbacks. So the Bucs have too many question marks to beat all three of those teams. To go to New Orleans is a tough task. Okay, it's loud in there. And then when you talk about Pittsburgh in any situation, Pittsburgh's always tough. It's and Philadelphia, we don't know what's happening there. It's gonna be tough sledding for sure.
I mean, they're gonna be good though, Philadelphia.
But we think they're gonna be good. Like, if you remember the Buccaneers after they won their Super Bowl in 2002, everybody was like, oh, the next, and I thought next year they were more talented. And I'm like, these guys are going to win a bunch of Super Bowls in a row. And I think they went 5-11.
Yeah.
So winning in football is hard. You lose the first game, and all of a sudden everybody's clutching, everybody's tight, And it's hard to play loose when everybody's uptight. So winning 10 games in the NFL is hard to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What do you think? I mean, I know it's hard for expectation-wise. Everybody's, you know, has their guesses, and they're always wrong. But if you were to guess, I know you've been out to some of the training camps and the games, the preseason games. They look good in the preseason games. I also understand that that means nothing. But what is your realistic expectations for this team?
First and foremost, I'm always wrong. Okay? I'm just going to tell you. Last year, I thought the Bucks were going to be good. They weren't.
Year I'm so excited. Yeah. Well, and my hopes are dashed immediately.
But you're supposed to be excited. Listen, the Browns fans are excited right now because, you know, they didn't win a game last year. After watching Hard Knocks, everybody looks, they fall in love with a couple players, and you become excited. That's good. You actually have a roundabout chance of turning your season around for an NFL team. Like, if you're a baseball team that sucked last year, it's kind of hard to turn things around. For an NFL team with free agency, with all the changes and all the things you could do in the offseason, you could change your team around immediately. Jacksonville did it last year. Every year, it seems to be a team that does it. So, it'd be nice for it to be the Buccaneers this year, but it'd probably be about 1 year late.
Yeah. I know they did a lot in free agency. They addressed a lot of needs. What are some positions where they're still weak at and still going to have some problems this year?
Well, I tell you, DeMar Dotson is a right tackle. He's probably in his last year of football. Donovan Smith just went down. He's going to be down for 2 to 4 weeks. Yeah. Like, football season starts in 2 weeks. So if we don't have a left tackle and we have Ryan Fitzpatrick as a quarterback, now that's... You know, that's a big deal. You don't have your starting quarterback. You don't have your left tackle. It's a big deal.
Arguably the two most important positions in football, right?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that Donovan Smith is this guy who's so irreplaceable because at times he looks like a rookie at times out there. But to have somebody out there that is it's a foreign place, I'm telling you, I played in every stadium, I think, except for Kansas City and Houston. And New Orleans is by far the loudest place on earth to play. And to play at left tackle and to not hear the snap count as a backup quarterback, a backup left tackle, I'm not sure they're going to survive. That's tough sledding.
Who's gonna take that role if he can't play?
They keep on throwing a bunch of names around. Benenock, who is stiff as a board. They talked about moving DeMar Dotson over to the left side, and I'm sure he's not going to be too happy about that. We don't have a lot of choices. Nobody has a backup left tackle in the NFL. It doesn't work that way. If you have a left tackle that can play in the NFL, they'll find somewhere else for him to play. So backup left tackles almost don't exist. Now, when your left tackle goes down, you put whoever's next. If you remember the Cowboys last year, they lost I think it's Tyrone Smith, their left tackle, and their backup tackle gave up, I think, 6 or 7 sacks or something like that. So let's hope that's not the case with Ryan Fitzpatrick in the first couple weeks.
Yeah. Donovan Smith gets a lot of, I don't know, they give him a lot of guff, you know? And maybe it's well-deserved, but I think if you look at the stats, isn't he, you know, up there in the top 10 as far as left tackles in the league go?
Well, I don't know about stats, because I don't know how you can really have statistics with linemen other than a bunch of people who probably don't know much about linemen play evaluating them, you know? So I watch him every game. I watch every lineman we have every game. And he just... He has a lot of athletic ability. He's kind of like a big dancing bear, but he still makes rookie mistakes and he still makes rookie steps at times. It's all mental for him. And you know what? If it's all mental, it could be changed. But he's deep into his career now to still be making these mental mistakes. So one of these days you want the lights to go on and him to say, okay, now I'm going to be a smarter player. But you don't usually change this far into your career.
Yeah, this is kind of a do-or-die year for him, too, right? If he doesn't produce this year, he's probably going to have to find a new job.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, he's a left tackle, okay, in the NFL. He's going to find a job somewhere, and I think he could probably switch to... He's really more suited to play a right tackle because he's kind of like a big, burly, you know, mauling type of dude. But he's out there in the left tackle spot. There's a lot of finesse players out there, and you're going to be playing against a longer, rangier defensive end. So... That's a tough position to play out there, and he's held his own, but he still has a lot of improving to do.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a player that's kind of piqued my interest that I like, Alex Kappa. Mm-hmm. Did we get another Ali Marpet with him?
Early. It's still early. Hope so. It seems like they like to go and pick these young kids from these obscure colleges and get some steals. Ali Marpet, to me, was a steal. I wish they would just put him in a position and leave him there. I thought he was on the verge of being a Pro Bowler at right guard, and they put him at center. Now they're playing at left guard. So, you know, it doesn't seem like a big deal to switch from right guard to left guard, but having tried it myself at the end of my career, I wasn't able to do it. So let's hope he figures out a position where he's going to stay for the rest of his career, stays there, and just, you know, masters that one position. It'll be better for everybody.
What's the biggest difference as far as playing different positions on the line? Like when you play, what's the difference between right guard and left guard?
Footwork. You know, it's like swinging. You play golf?
I try to.
Okay, well, yeah, everybody's just trying to. Nobody's good at golf, by the way. It's like swinging a club right-handed and then trying to swing it left-handed. As a right guard, you know, your inside foot is your left foot. So that's going to be your post foot. So it always has to be up. If you ever find a situation where you're pass blocking and your left foot is back, you're going to be in big trouble because that's the quickest way to the quarterback. So mentally, your whole mindset is left foot up, left foot up, left foot up. Now you put me to left guard. Now your whole mindset has to switch. It has to be right foot up. So for 9 years, I've been, you know, ingraining in my brain left foot up. Now all of a sudden, you got to go the other way. And it's just not a natural thing to do. Now, some of these players, like I'm pretty sure DeMar Dotson has played. I know he's played some left tackle. He might switch back and forth in practice. I don't know. If you do that, that's fine. But I tried to do it later in my career, and I wasn't able to do it.
Yeah. So out of these three games without Jameis, without your starting quarterback, which one do you think is most winnable?
Jesus. I don't know if that's you could even answer this at this point. I mean, we might go to New Orleans and I might say none of them after that game. I don't know.
Yeah.
I may go to New Orleans and say, hey, it's amazing how much Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, dealt with the conditions, and if we can beat New Orleans there, we could beat anybody. So it's impossible to evaluate a football team in the offseason. Like you said earlier, they look good in preseason. That's a grain of salt thing.
Just because they're not, I mean, open in the playbook? There's only just all the teams are kind of just playing the basic, you know, plays, and that's it?
Well, the thing is, if you're a good football team and you're playing against another team and everybody's being vanilla and you beat the crap out of them, you're still a good football team. But the Buccaneers are not there. The Buccaneers have to prove to themselves they can win in certain situations. Having success in the preseason against defenses that aren't blitzing and very vanilla things and teams that aren't game planning you, that makes it very easy for a lot of these players. I laugh because when I watch the NFL Network and ESPN and I listen to all this radio, everybody does the same thing. Baker Mayfield looks great. So-and-so looks great. This is not real football. It's not. I mean, if somebody plays chess out there, when you first learn to play chess and it's elementary and you're moving, and this guy goes diagonal and this guy goes, that's what they're doing right now. It's elementary. You can be successful right now. And that's what I think that's also a problem in the NFL is if you have a young kid that comes in and has success early in preseason, they're thinking, oh, this is easy. I got this. And then the regular season comes, and all of a sudden they look and they see, why is that safety standing over there? Well, what's happening here? I've never seen this before. And now you have the guy on the other side of the field who is a defensive coordinator who has been doing this for 50 years trying to confuse you who have been doing this for one game. So that's not a hard thing to do. So the people that have success in the preseason and figure that they have it, when they get to the regular season, it's not a good feel because things – I was going to say, and I remember my first year, I remember preseason football being very much like practice and very much like college football. And I remember the first game of the season, everything speeding up probably 10 times. It just, everything's just flying and everything's moving too fast, and it's hard to absorb at times.
Yeah. Well, speaking of rookies, who do you think is going to be the standout, if you could guess, in 2018 as far as that rookie class goes? You got some really good ones. You got the Baker Mayfield. You got Saquon Barkley. I mean, who sticks out in your mind that maybe you might be a sleeper?
Boy, I hate rookies. I just do. Listen, we're all Buccaneer fans here, right? And if I say to you, how many Buccaneer rookies excelled in their rookie season? How many you know of excelled?
Like, I mean, Cadillac Williams?
Okay, no, well, Cadillac Williams had 3 great games. And after that, it was very pedestrian.
Mediocre, okay.
Very.
Michael Clayton?
That's the answer.
Wide receiver?
That's the answer.
Yeah.
Michael Clayton is the answer. Michael Clayton had an unbelievable rookie season and it fell off. So it's a shame that he did that, but it's hard to play at an NFL level at rookie, as a rookie. I was a rookie. I started 16 games at right guard. That's a successful season, but I didn't play up to the par of the rest of the right guards in the NFL because I was a rookie. I was making rookie mistakes. I was doing bonehead rookie stuff. And in your next year, you stop doing those bonehead things. You start improving, and you keep on going as you mature as a football player. But you can't have a lot of rookie football players on your football field because it doesn't work out. It really doesn't.
So what do you think, though? I mean, as far as rookies go, Baker Mayfield, maybe?
Nope.
Early leader? No, don't like him.
Nope. I just don't like the pick. Okay.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley, I said this verbatim. He is a hamstring waiting to happen, and he pulled his hamstring in one of the first games. So, yeah. Like I said, I don't like rookies. If you're going to bring me a rookie, give me a wide receiver, get me a defensive back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's talk Bucs wide receivers because that seems to be a strong point for them right now. They got too many good ones, it seems like, on the roster. They're going to have to make some difficult moves. Who's going to get that fifth wide receiver spot?
Well, to me, you might be right. I mean, you can't have too many good football players, that's for sure.
Good problem to have, I guess.
It's a great problem to have. But if you have four good receivers that aren't all getting the ball, then, you know, then that's a problem. But we want to be running the football. Like, I don't give a crap if DeSean Jackson catches 100 balls this year. I would rather our running backs have – I'd rather have a 1,200-yard runner, okay, because that means we didn't put as much onus on Jameis and Ryan Fitzpatrick. But, some of these receivers that we have, I don't know if we've ever been this talented. I just don't. Mike Evans, I just like him as a football player. I like him as a competitor. I made a prediction that he has a great year this year. I think he has a Pro Bowl year this year. DeSean Jackson, at the last year, was as frustrated as can be, and he should have been because they probably left a good half dozen touchdowns on the field. Humphreys has his role as well. So there's like Martino. There's so many names out there. I just don't know if it's enough footballs, but once again, it's a good problem to have. But I don't want to be in four receiver sets too often. I'd rather be in two tight end sets. I think we're more talented as a tight end spot, to be honest with you.
I've even heard them kicking around keeping six wide receivers.
Sure. I mean, it comes down at the end of training camp, your fifth and sixth wide receiver or your fifth and sixth defensive back or sixth and seventh defensive back, it all comes down to special teams. Like, your fifth wide receiver doesn't ever really play. But if he dresses, he has to do something. He has to kickoff return. He has to do something. So at the end of training camp, it all comes down to special teams, and that's really the difference between those last few spots.
Right. So I know there's some hype about the Penn kid. What's his name? Watson? Justin Watson? I think that's him. White dude?
Justin Watson. Safety you're talking about?
No. Maybe I'm getting his name wrong. The dude from Penn, the rookie wide receiver, white guy.
Yeah, I've seen him. I don't know much.
Haven't seen too much about him.
Yeah, I don't know much. I mean, listen, he's a kid that maybe makes a practice squad, but he's not going to make this regular season squad. I don't see it.
Mm.
And if he is talented on this squad, hide him.
Yeah, stash him away somewhere.
Hide him and then try to get him to practice squad and then go from there because you don't want too many people seeing what he can do.
Yeah, I asked you where are we weak? As far as position-wise, because we did address a lot of in free agency. Defensive line was a big one. It seems like, they addressed the corners in the draft, and they seem like they're actually doing fairly well. But again, they don't have any real game experience. You know, you might have to start these dudes as rookies. Does that concern you?
It's hard to say who's weak and where we're strong. Defensive line-wise, we don't know those guys. Like, I don't know what JPP hasn't ramped it up yet. We know what we have with Gerald McCoy. Gerald McCoy does about the same thing every year. This Curry kid looks like he's a hustler. He's an effort type of guy. But we're coming off a year last year where the Bucs were last in the NFL in sacks, last in the NFL in pressures. So I just can't say we're okay at defensive line because we said that last year. Mm. As an offensive line, we have a lot of people. I want to say when we start the season, if Donovan Smith doesn't start, we'll only have one returning starter in the same position. So that's a question mark as well. We don't know, if Dotson can play with the rookie kid at the right side. We don't know if Marpet can move to left. Jensen, a new center, I'm hearing good things about him. We don't know who's going to be a left tackle. So it's easy to just say on paper, but there's still a lot of question marks out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And listen, at the end of last year, I said this. All we have to do is we have to improve drastically in the trenches, and we can be a good football team. And it's yet to be seen if we've done that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
I guess when this airs, it'll be the final week. What's it like in the locker room as far as finally being done or coming to the end anyways, that the final? What's in your head as a next player there?
Any player that says they don't completely dread training camp is lying to you. When training camp gets over, it's a weight that comes off your shoulder. You get back home, you get a chance to see your family. You get back to a little bit of normalcy, and you know, you're getting ready for real football. Fake football sucks, okay? It sucks to be in training camp, blocking your buddy all day long, getting in fights with your buddies, and it sucks. And when the regular season starts, you got to start making some real money, which is nice. Now, people don't even think about that, but, you know, when you're an NFL football player, you get paid for 17 weeks. So when you're talking about training camp, man, you haven't been paid since December. So it's time to get some real money going.
You can't just spread that out over the year?
Nope.
17 weeks. Why the hell not?
Why would you?
What do you mean? So you have a check all the time.
Why wouldn't you want to get the money in your hands immediately? Why would you want the Bucks to hold your money?
Yeah, right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You always want your money. I mean, and if you're making $100,000 a year, you'd rather get it in 17 weeks and get it in 52 weeks.
Yeah.
Because now you can get the money and you can invest it and do what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you're just ready to go. You're ready to go because training camp sucks. It's long and it's drawn out. And when you start packing up and you got to get out of wherever you're going, it's a wonderful feeling.
That's Do you have that sort of elation where even though you're still in it, you're just at the end. So you're like, I'm almost done. This feels awesome. Even though I'm still in it, I'm almost done.
Well, you have to watch, you don't exhale too soon.
Yeah,
that's the thing, because you might still have some football. It's like at the end of a football season, you know, you have a couple games left. You have to keep your mind sharp, because if you exhale, that's when you get hurt and you get yourself into funny situations. And, you know, I was on so many bad football teams that I knew that the next year the coaches were going to get back, and whoever my coach was going to be is going to put on the 17th week, then the 16th week, then the 15th week, and not the first, second, and third. They're going to start from the last week and go backwards. So you have to play hard in your last few games regardless, because you just don't know what's going to happen in the front office.
You've never been one of those guys that were like fighting for a job, though. I mean, you were a starter pretty much the whole time.
I was a starter my whole career, but I fought for my job my whole career.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I mean, I got here. I was a fifth-round draft pick. My first practice, I was a second-string guard. My second practice, I was first-string. So I impressed enough in my first practice to be first-string, and then I held on to the position, but... my whole career, they had somebody pushing me. They bring somebody in the offseason, some guy 6'7", 350, or some guy to beat me out. And it's just, it's not about statistics. It's not about height and all that crap. It's about want to and knowing the game and understanding the game and all that kind of stuff. So I wasn't a first-round pick, man. It would have been nice. It would have been nice to not worry about things, but... I think that kept me sharp, because I was never comfortable with my job, ever, not at any time.
What about the guys that are, you know, maybe in the locker room that aren't going to get a job? How do they react to the end of training camp, where they might not have a job, or might have to move to a new team, or some guys might even have to think about, maybe this just isn't going to work out for me. Mm-hmm. What do you do from there? Have you ever talked to those guys? What do you say to them?
I never stated anybody. Never really messed with anybody else's mindset. I don't have time to worry about other people's stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Just like in regular life, you could cry about what's happening in your world, and whoever's listening to you is thinking about what's happening in their world, okay? So you have to be in your own little bubble. If you're a football player that you think you're going to get cut, you still have one more chance to show what you can do. So a lot of these guys that claim they're going to get cut are going to play probably a good half of football in the fourth preseason game. So I don't want to cry for you. If you're going to play a whole half of football, you have a whole half of football to prove to somebody you can play. And my mindset has always been, you put me on a football field, I'm going to show people I can play, and that's it. And I was an offensive lineman, but if the coach said, "Well, yeah, we're going to cut you at offensive line. The only way you're going to make the team is you play special teams." I swear to God, I would have excelled at special teams. That's just the mindset I had. I'd have figured out some way to be on that field. So, training camp's a long time. If you can play, you have enough time to show the coaches what you can do.
How do you think the game's changed from when you played to now?
It's not the same game. It's not the same game. Physically, you can't hit people anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not the same game mentally, because we had 3-a-days. These guys have one practice every other day. Okay,
and one of them's inside, isn't it?
yeah, but no, they're only allowed to hit once every other day. We would have two hitting practices every day, every week. So what they're doing now, I just don't know what that is. You know, a lot of people think that hitting less in practice is going to alleviate all these injuries. I think it adds more injuries, personally. I just don't think these guys are ready to go when the regular season starts. You're just seeing so many hamstrings and Achilles tendons and a lot of crappy, you know, no non-contact injuries and stuff like that. These guys' tendons aren't—they're not seasoned enough. They're not banging enough. They're just not a lot of hitting. And you look at some of these, you know, starters going into the regular season. Some of them go into regular season having taken 20 full speed reps in practice in regular season game in preseason games. Let me give you an example. Bill Parcells used to play his starters 4 quarters in their 4th preseason game. 4 quarters. Why? Because the next week, the same guys are going to play 4 quarters. As an offensive lineman, I'm going to play 4 quarters every game unless I get hurt. So you got to get yourself ready for that. So if I, in the last game of the season, of the preseason, if I play 0 plays, I'm not getting myself ready for the 70 plays I'm going to play the next week. So the mindset's definitely changed. It's definitely a lot softer, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, even throwing you off a week where you don't play, that could just throw you out of your rhythm?
It's just the first week of the season, you're clearly out of shape. Like, you don't get yourself in good football, you know, shape until probably the 5th or 6th week of the season. So when you cut out all those reps, like, I don't know if these guys ever really get themselves in football shape, because they're not putting their body through it. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of really funny injuries, and it's still the same sport. It carries itself differently. I don't know. There's a lot. You know, we played with quarterbacks like Brett Favre and Troy Aikman and guys like that who never miss games. And right now, it just seems like every quarterback is just missing every other game, it seems like. So,
do you think a lot of that's just more mental than anything, than the actual physical injury?
Yeah. The thing is, somebody like Brett Favre, who played for 20 years maybe, mm-hmm, you don't tell me you didn't get a concussion?
he got many.
Okay, how many plays did he miss?
Very few.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. But now it's like they have to take him out. They don't have a choice. The league says you have to take him out. There's a lot of public pressure on them with the CTE stuff. Yeah. And, you know,
they're trying to cover their ass. That's what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still letting people play with concussions. There's no doubt. They're on the outskirts. They're trying to make it look like they give a crap. I don't believe them. I'm still seeing them put people with concussions back in the game. That's never going to change.
Mm.
Never. It's not going to change.
So what's your opinion of the CTE stuff? I know I talked to this girl. She's a does stuff with the brain. I don't know, some sort of psychologist or something. She was saying now that they think it's not necessarily the collisions, the impact, or it's the collisions, not the impacts, is what's doing it now. So now they're talking about maybe soccer might be a problem because they're having a lot of collisions, hitting the balls off their head and all that stuff. What do you think is the solution to this debacle?
Stop playing football.
Oh, no. Don't say that.
No, I mean, there's going to be concussions in football. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah. So you're saying, like, players know the risk? They know the deal?
They know now. Yeah. They didn't know when I played.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, when I watched the movie Concussion, I told myself I wasn't going to watch it, and I ended up watching it, and I thought it was a great movie. And, this Nigerian doctor knew of this in the 80s. So the NFL knew of what CTE was about in the 80s. They didn't tell us. They didn't tell us in the 90s. The NFL still hasn't admitted that having numerous concussions could be detrimental to your health later on. They've never admitted that. They had one doctor admit it, and the next day he recanted, he took it back. He goes, sorry, I didn't mean that. Mm. So the second that they say playing football for a long time is bad for you, they got to shrink me a check. And that's what they're not going to admit. And it's not about concussions. It's about numerous hits. A buddy of mine, Tom McHale, who died from a drug overdose, he died from a drug overdose. His wife donated his brain, and he was 36 years old, and they said that he had the brain of a 70-year-old Alzheimer's patient. Jeez. And he had zero recorded concussions. So wow. It's not about concussions. It's about, you know, continuous hitting, and your brain hitting the side of your head. It's not a good thing for your brain.
Yeah, I've heard a solution might be to take away the helmets and the pads.
Well, we know that's not going to happen.
Why not?
Well, there's a lot of concussions in rugby.
Yeah, but they don't seem to have the problems that we have, unless they're just not looking into it.
We don't know. We're not watching it.
Right.
There's lots of concussions in rugby.
Sure.
I played rugby growing up, and there's maybe more concussions in rugby. Mm-hmm. If I'm running at you with a ball and you have no helmet, how are you going to tackle me without getting a concussion? How? You're not.
I don't know. I mean, I couldn't tackle you.
The question is, whoever it is, if you do tackle me, I'm old now. I'm not running with the ball. But when I was in high school and I'm 295 and I'm running and you tackle me and you put your head on my knees or whatever, you're probably going to get a concussion. It's a bad idea. So you cannot take concussions out of football. Football knows it. You know, they talk to these kids. And they go to these Pop Warner, you know, leagues, and they try to implement head up. Once again, did you ever play football?
I tried. I couldn't hack it.
That's fine. If Mike Allstott's running at you full bore with his head down, how are you going to tackle him with your head up? You can't. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. It's physically impossible. If you don't lower your head to his helmet level, you're going to get run over. Period. Mm-hmm. So all that stuff is, you know, it sounds good, but when you go to a Pop Warner game and you hear clack, 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 those are helmets. And you can't take that out of the game. There's no way. There's no way to take licks and hard hits out of the game. It's impossible.
Would you let your kids play football?
Well, my son played football I coached him for about 5 or 6 years. So I was head coach for 5 or 6 years. It's a tough situation. With my son, he wanted to play. I told him, I go, when you want to play, you let me know. He played. It's a tough situation because when you're coaching and a kid says, hey, coach, I have a headache, there's two ways you want to look at it. Okay, Johnny, go sit on the side. You may have a concussion. Or, well, Johnny, you know you have to play with headaches, right? Because if you can't play football without a headache, you can't play.
Right.
Headaches are part of it. And having a headache doesn't mean you have a concussion. This means you might have just took a lick, and that's it. So I always tell people, if you don't want to worry about your kid, don't put him in football. Put him in soccer.
Yeah, but it seems like that's, like I was saying, it's not even a great alternative anymore.
It's better than it's better than football.
Yeah.
you don't have to worry as much. Tell them not to head the ball.
Sure.
But they'll be fine otherwise.
Yeah. Well, let's do the last football question, and I'll let you. You're a very busy man here, so I'll let you get going. Who do you think is going to be in the Super Bowl? We'll just do a generic one like that.
A generic Super Bowl. Okay, I'm going to go with an obscure Super Bowl.
Are you just picking, or is this what you really feel? Are you just pulling it out of your head?
I wouldn't put my money on it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with the San Diego Chargers.
I like
Philip Rivers. I've always liked Philip Rivers.
Okay.
They have some talent over there. And the LA Rams.
Rams are a good pick. Rams are intriguing. This is going to be a breakout year for them.
I mean, the Rams have talent.
Well, they broke out last year, yeah.
They broke out last year, and they had so much offense. And they have a Dominican suit, and if they get Aaron Donald back, yeesh.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
That's going to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Rams. I hope they get it done. I like the way they built that team over there.
All right, you want mine?
Let's hear it.
New England Patriots.
He went on a limb.
And the Tampa Bay Super Bowl. What do you think? Pretty good? No, man. I hate New England. Okay. Well, no, I don't hate New England, actually. Yeah. I hated all Boston teams.
You're
supposed
to hate New England.
Yeah. And actually, my boss at my day job is a really great guy, and he's a big Boston fan. So he kind of changed my tune a little bit. Because I was one of those dudes that got, whenever I went to a Rays game, just I got the drunk Boston fan sitting next to me every single time.
Every time.
So I just started hating their guts.
You're supposed
pretty
to.
Much. Yeah. But it's just to. A good rivalry, you know.
Yeah, the Bucks, I wouldn't say they're ready for prime time yet.
We'll see.
We're going to find
out. We're going to have this on tape. So
we're going to find out real soon.
I can't wait for you to give me a high five and be like, wow, that was a great
pick. Bro, you don't
think
I want to give you a high five? You know, while we're all celebrating the Buccaneers Super Bowl victory, I'd be like, boy, you was on it. I'll give you 10 high fives and the Bucs are in the Super Bowl again. That's
hell
for
yeah.
Sure. I'm ready.
Tell me everything you're working on, man. You got a lot of podcasts going on. You got your radio shows.
Yeah, I have three podcasts going on. I have In the Trenches, which comes out Monday. That's just football. I talk mostly Buccaneers and some NFL stuff. I have my cannabis podcast, which comes out on Wednesday. It's not us just sitting around smoking weed and talking. We're talking about, you know, the regulations and the laws and all this kind of stuff. I have True Leave has powered that one. I have Tetra Health Centers as well. And then on Friday, I do Flavor in Your Ear, which is kind of a pop culture type of thing, kind of like a show on 102.5. So, I'm dabbling in this podcast thing. Ironically, the first podcast I ever did was yours.
Really?
That's the first one I ever did in my other at the other office.
Yeah.
So you busted my cherry. So you'll always be my first. But I'm looking to bring some more on board, and it's fun. You know, I'm on the air every day on 102.5, which is blessed. But I'm not on there for a long time, so I still have a lot of energy when I leave. So if anybody wants to hear me, it's all on Radio Influence, and I think you'll find podcasts anywhere pretty much.
Yeah, iTunes, Stitcher, all that. Yeah. You can get the Bone app too. If I believe it, all the shows are streaming on there 24 hours a day. So, you know, there's ways of hearing it, even if you're not up at 5 in the morning, whatever. Ian, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Anytime, brother.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.
All right, there you go. Thank you, Ian Beckles. You can find him on Twitter at Ian Beckles, and I believe his Instagram is Ian_Beckles. So follow him. Check out his podcast. I love his In the Trenches podcast. I listen to it every week. It's very informative, and Ian's a great dude. So thanks again, Ian, for coming on. Appreciate it. Hopefully we'll have him back very soon. What do you think? What are the Bucks going to do this year? Super Bowl champs? Man, I hope so. Wouldn't that be awesome? 813-693-2124. Let me know. How's it going to go? If you listen on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next, followed by the Indie Circuit after that. If you haven't subscribed to this podcast, just search HMB Radio, all one word, and then Tampa Bay. Pop right up. Appreciate you tuning in, man. It means a lot to me. Listen to Stay Woke at Midnights on 102.5 The Bone. Myself and Anna Hummel over there. Download the 102.5 The Bone app if you can't stay up that late, if you sleep like a normal human being. My name is Will Koontz. This has been the Homemade Broadcast. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Have a great week. Talk to you next week. Bye.